Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _ Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley, and you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/lockedonshybulls. And of course, that text and voicemail line always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Send us your text messages and your voicemails, and we will get to all of that content in our weekly mailbag episodes. Well, the Bulls lose another tough one on Sunday night. They fall to Jimmy Butler of the Miami Heat, 110-105. Took an extra period for the game to be decided after a couple of clutch Zach LaVine free throws sent the game into overtime. Would have been nice to get this W. Would have been probably, unarguably, the most impressive win of the season for this underwhelming Bulls team. Especially knowing that the Miami Heat had not yet lost on their home floor coming into this game on Sunday. And it was there for the taking. Honestly, Miami did not play that great of a game. They barely shot 40% from the field. They only hit 11 threes compared to 13 for the Bulls. It was all about the free throw line. Miami, 35 of 44 from downtown, as opposed to just 22 of 27 for the Bulls. And Jimmy Buckets, our old friend, 17 of 21 himself from the free throw line. 21 of Miami's 44 free throw attempts. That was the largest number of free throw attempts for one player playing against the Bulls since Allen Iverson in 2006, 13 years ago. Pretty crazy. And it was on a night when Jimmy Butler did not shoot that well from the field. 3 of 14. But Jimmy, being the smart, savvy player that he is, recognized that he could get to the free throw line at will against this Bulls defense, and that's exactly what he did. Combine that with a couple of untimely failures from the Bulls to corral defensive rebounds and some timely shooting from impressive Heat rookie Tyler Hero, who finished with 27 points off the bench, a team high for Miami. And that included 5 of 11 from downtown, including a couple of big ones late. And that pretty much sealed the fate for the Bulls. Bulls, with that loss, fall to 8-16 on the season. Obviously, not what Bulls fans were hoping for as we have passed the quarter mark of this third season of the rebuild. You could take some positive signs from this game, notably that the Bulls were in position to be the first team to beat Miami on their home floor. That is impressive. And they did so despite Zach LaVine having a pretty poor night. In 41 minutes, Zach finished with just 18 points on 5 of 19 shooting from the field, including just 1 of 8 from downtown. And he started slow, dishing out 3 assists, which I think all came in the first quarter, really trying to get his teammates going. And Lauri Markkanen had another strong start in this game. He finished with 22 points on 8 of 15, adding 7 rebounds. But once again, and we've seen this several times in this recent stretch where Lowry's trying to get out of this slump that he's in, he kind of cooled off as the game progressed. Lowry did have a shot from the corner, a three-point attempt from the corner late in this game that could have kept the Bulls in it. Unfortunately, looked like he got a pretty good look, all things considered, but he misses off the front rim from the baseline three-point attempt. But it was another night when I feel like Markkanen had a rhythm and a groove going, and then he just kind of fell out of it as the game progressed. And as we've mentioned before, some of that might have to do with the, you know, long extensions that Jim Boylan, this team's head coach, decides to leave his starters on the bench while he's getting his, you know, his second unit in there. And this was a night when Boylan went 12 deep. Now, two of those 12, Luke Kornet and Gafford, only played 5 minutes combined. Gafford got himself into some very quick foul trouble. He picked up three fouls in the span of just 2 minutes. And again, I mean, some of that is, you know, a young and inexperienced player like Gafford, who's still figuring out how to play defense without getting whistled for fouls early in his first year in the league. But I think basically all three of his fouls came when the Bulls defense broke down and he was the last line of defense and, you know, left helpless. So it's unfortunate that after that, Boylan decided not to put Gafford back in this game at any point after that very brief stint, because they could have used his rebounding late in this game when the Bulls were forcing misses but not corralling rebounds. I mean, not even second, but in some cases third chance scoring opportunities for these Miami Heat, who are too good of a team to give extra possessions to. Luke Kornet once again looked completely useless out there. And it's, you know, a combination of the fact that he doesn't look to be looking for his shot offensively. And when he was looking for his shot earlier this season, it wasn't falling. And defensively, his limitations are a nightmare in this defensive system. He can't guard anywhere outside the perimeter, the restricted area. You ask him to do anything defensively outside the restricted area, and it's like it's impossible. He can't move his feet, he can't guard, and he can't rotate. So, two unfortunate dud performances from some of the front court bigs in this rotation. We saw Coby White have a decent night, 32 minutes off the bench. He chipped in 11 points, including knocking down three of his 7 three-pointers, and he dished out a season-high 8 assists. So it's nice to see that from Coby White, as Bulls fans are hoping that he could become more of a playmaker as he develops his NBA talents. And then Thad Young, returning from his one-game absence for personal reasons, chips in 12 points off the bench on 5 of 10, and Denzel Valentine, in 14 brief minutes, chips in 11 points on 3 of 4 from downtown. A lot of Bulls fans were hoping that Denzel might be on the floor late in this game because the Bulls could have used his three-point shooting. And I don't necessarily disagree with those who are saying, man, why not have Denzel out there? But he played just 14 minutes and did not play down the final stretch of this game in the fourth quarter or overtime. So, you know, that's something that that Jim Boylan will have to consider moving forward. But a couple of Boylan favorites, Shaq Harrison and Ryan Arcidiacono, combined to play only 16 minutes in this game. So I think, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find Bulls fans who have a problem with that. The fact that, you know, it looks like Valentine has at least leapfrogged Shaq Harrison in this rotation. Whether or not that was Jim's decision or perhaps a word of advice from his bosses, we don't know. But then also Ryan Arcidiacono played just 7 minutes last night. And for all of the, you know, the reasons that Bulls fans can at least respect and appreciate the efforts of a guy like Archie, and kudos to him for doing everything he did for this completely depleted team last season, it's not ideal to have Arcidiacono playing like 20-plus minutes off your bench every night, which was the case, has been the case for the most part this season, because Jim Boylan likes the things that he brings. But this Bulls team is not talented enough for guys like that to be getting 20-plus minutes on the back half of your rotation. It's just not. So it was a, you know, a winnable game against a very good opponent on the road, which is why I like the fact that if you look at the starters' minutes, LaVine, 41, Wendell, 40, Lowry, 38. That's what I want to see. A little curious to me that Satoransky only played 23 minutes in this game because he has been playing better of late. And I think he has a very calming presence on this young Bulls team that can tend to panic and let things get a little haywire when it's crunch time. So I would have liked to see Satoransky out there more. He was on the floor late in the game, but I don't think that 23 minutes is enough if you're playing your other starters close to and around and slightly above 40 minutes. And then, of course, Chris Dunn, my final takeaway from this game, 34 minutes, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and once again, 6 fouls, fouling out for, I believe, the 4th time this season. What I liked about Dunn's game last night, he took 0 threes. I know that we've heard that Jim Boylan is encouraging him to keep shooting those. Personally, I don't know why, but if Dunn can affect the game positively in his own, you know, specific way. We saw him do a lot of damage in the mid-range, you know, in like the back end of the painted area, hitting his floaters, his, you know, his little one-handed floaters and things like that. Got to the rim a couple of times. That's fine. That's great. Combine that with his, you know, with his effort on the defensive end, and I guess he's fine. But fouling out again. I mean, Dunn, I know that there are some Dunn stands among Bulls Nation who are saying he doesn't get enough credit for what he does on the defensive end. He's also doing some pretty dumb things on the defensive end. So, you know, it is what it is for me. And honestly, until Otto gets back, which sounds like it could be a while, or Chandler Hutchison gets back, and who knows how valuable Jim Boylan deems him to be once he is back, if he comes back, I don't hate the idea of starting Denzel in place of Chris Dunn to just add some more floor spacing and shooting to that first unit. I really don't see the harm in trying, especially when your team is 8-16 through 24 games. So all in all, a disappointing loss for the Bulls. I guess you got to give them a little bit of credit for being in it and giving themselves a chance to win this game when a very good opponent was having kind of an off night. And maybe they're ticked off that they let this one get away. They've let a lot of them get away. So it was, you know, a slightly varied version of the same story so far this season. Couldn't quite get it done, and that's disappointing. I want to also get to some of Jim Boylan's comments from after the game and what they mean for this team as they move forward this season. But before we do that, wanted to give a quick shout-out to Spotify. Spotify Wrapped is a new feature. If you are a Spotify listener, you can use Spotify Wrapped, that's W-R-A-P-P-E-D, to show us your top Locked On podcasts for the year. You can take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and at Locked On Bulls on Twitter, and we'll share it and we tweet it. We've already seen a couple of people do this. Gave a shout out to Locked On Bulls with their sort of like a Spotify, you know, a year and rewind thing that they're doing. It's pretty cool. So if we are one of your top listen to podcasts for the 2019 calendar year, take a screenshot, give us a shout out, and we will retweet it and give you a shout out. Appreciate all of our listeners. All right, Bulls fans, we have reached the second week of December, and you will know what that means. It is holiday shopping season. It's the time of year where everyone is traveling or running around getting thoughtful gifts for the people they care about. Think about giving yourself or somebody you care about the gift of Audible membership. Now is the best time to do it with a special offer of 53% off your first 3 months. Access an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more. You can choose 3 titles every single month, 1 audiobook and 2 exclusive Audible originals you cannot hear anywhere else. You can listen on your device anytime, anywhere with the Audible app. It's great while commuting, at the gym, or during your holiday travels. With Audible, you'll also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges and your own audiobook library that you keep forever. That's right. Even if you cancel, you can keep your audiobook library forever. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. Give yourself the gift of listening. For more, go to audible.com/lockedonNBA. That's right. For a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month, half off the regular price. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. That's right. You could text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. I really love Audible. I've been using it for a while. One of my most recent additions, for all of you basketball fans out there, I'm sure you're familiar with the author Shea Serrano, who's a great follow on Twitter and a great author, wrote the book Basketball and Other Things. He recently just followed that up with a new book called Movies and Other Things that I am in the middle of listening to right now. Been listening to it on my commute for the last couple of weeks. It's awesome. So if you like Shea Serrano and his writing and his book Basketball and Other Things, you could use Audible to listen to his newest book, Movies and Other Things. If you're a sports nerd and a movie nerd and a TV show nerd, it is great content. So check that out. That's, once again, audible.com/lockedonNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. All right, the other thing I wanted to touch on following this Bulls loss to the Heat on Sunday is a specific thing that Jim Boylan said in his post-game comments addressing the media. And it was another time that he's been questioned about the lack of wins. You know, of course, just like a week ago, we had the ridiculous "if you build it, they will come" comment. Oh, you ever seen Field of Dreams? And the fact that I think around 2 weeks ago or so, our buddy Tony Gill of the No Zones podcast of 670 The Score, soon to be of NBC Sports Chicago, asked Jim Boylan about changing the goals for this season and kind of recalibrating what the goals are because of their poor start when the goals were the playoffs. And then Jim Boylan stood there at the podium and said, well, no, the playoffs are still our goal. So after this loss to Miami last night and once again asked about the lack of wins, I want to share this quote with you from Jim Boylan in case you missed it. And Stephen Noe, who does great work for covering the Bulls for The Athletic, pointed this out in a tweet last night. So this is Boylan on winning. It's important, but I have to measure this, third youngest team in the league, this young group, in other ways than that. I have to. That's what we're building. That's what we're developing. End quote. Jim Boylan. And as Steph pointed out, what this is, to use his phrase, moving the goalposts. Jim Boylan stood there at the podium after another disappointing loss, a disheartening loss in a winnable game, and said, it's not all about winning. I'm paraphrasing there, but that's what he said. You have to measure this season with things other than winning, like building and developing. Well, then you are changing the goals. So maybe, I guess, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or whenever that was when Tony Gill asked him that question, they hadn't moved the goalposts yet, but maybe now at 8-16, they're moving the goalposts. Because not only Jim Boylan, but John Paxson came out and told the media, and through the media, told the fan base, our goal this season is to make the playoffs. Year three of the rebuild, you know, looking for some significant internal development, some improving play from our important players like Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen. And they told us that the playoffs were the goal. Well, now, even in a weak Eastern Conference, 8-16, if you keep this trajectory of winning one out of every three games, that's not going to get it done. Once you get to the end of the, you know, the marathon here and you've played all 82 and you've only won a third of them, that's not getting you in the playoffs even in the Eastern Conference. So at what point did Jim Boylan, and at what point will we hear John Paxson speak about we are changing our goals for this season and admitting to us that they failed already 24 games into the season to reach their goal. Because what Jim Boylan said last night sounded exactly like walking back a promise, not a promise, but a goal that they set for themselves that they already know that they can't keep, that they can't reach. Look, I was happy when they set that goal for themselves, and I was happy that they said it in those words. John Paxson kind of danced around it a little bit. You know, he was saying something like, you know, we want to compete at a high level, and if you do that, then you could be a team that's in the hunt for the playoffs, something like that. And then Jim Boylan said it much more bluntly. He just said our goal is to make the playoffs. So collectively, that was the message. And even as someone who thought that they would fall short of that goal this season, I certainly thought they would look better and be closer to the hunt than this. Twice as many losses as wins 24 games into the season. That's not going to cut it. And now, is it only Jim Boylan who has changed his goals? Is he trying to justify the fact that his team continues to, win first quarters, but cough up winnable games? How many more wins should this team have? And again, I'm not putting all of this responsibility on Boylan. Yes, some of his players have underperformed. Lauri Markkanen, among them, at the forefront of underwhelming. But how much of it and how much of Lowry's struggles are faults that lie at the feet of this team's head coach? And a combination of the fact that schematically and X's and O's basketball-wise, he doesn't seem to have a clue what he's doing and not optimizing the system based on his players' talents and vice versa, but doing the opposite. So Bulls fans have to watch the same story every night. Either, I guess there's two stories. Either the Bulls get blown out, or they eke out a win, or they cough up a game that they should win. So I guess that's the three different stories that we've seen so far this season. But they all just feel very similar. They all feel very underwhelming. They all feel like a team that is regressing instead of the favorite word Jim Boylan and John Paxson like to use, developing. And now Jim Boylan is trying to tell the media and the fan base that winning can't be the only measuring stick because the team is young and because that they have guys that they have to develop. Well then, you know, maybe you shouldn't have been talking playoffs. Maybe they knew that that was a lofty goal. Or maybe if they didn't think that that was a lofty goal but a reasonable one, and here they are, 8-16, that should tell you how much they have failed so far this season. And yes, of course, you know, missing Otto Porter Jr. to injury so far this season, you know, a considerable number of games, and it doesn't look like we're getting him back anytime soon. Yeah, that hurts. But you know what? Otto wasn't playing all that great when he was out there, sadly. For being the highest paid guy on your team, I don't think Otto being out, based on the Otto we saw when he was healthy, moved the needle all that much. And it's just one excuse, and I am sick of this team using injuries as an excuse. So that really ticked me off to hear Jim Boylan say that last night. Because 24 games in, you're already coming up with excuses for why winning should not be the only measuring stick this season. When you told us on media day, the goal is the playoffs. Well, guess what? To make the playoffs, you got to win some freaking games, man. And 8 through your first 24 is not anywhere close to cutting it. No. My God. And now we just have to wait and see if the Bulls decide to make a move. Are they going to trade somebody? Are they actually going to fire this coach? We just saw the Knicks use David Fizdale as their fall guy a few days ago. And, of course, everybody immediately called out who? Knicks management and Knicks ownership, because they were blaming a guy who was only a tiny part, if a part at all, of a much bigger systemic problem. And that's exactly the situation the Bulls are in right now. I mean, it's even more laughable and embarrassing for them if they are to fire Jim Boylan. Look, and I think if they fire Jim Boylan, they have more cause to fire Jim based on his coaching performance than the Knicks had cause to fire David Fizdale, who was clearly just a fall guy. We're going to blame that guy because we went out and signed 18 power forwards this season and our team isn't very good. That's Fizdale's fault for not, you know, coaching this team well enough. The Bulls would have more cause to fire Jim Boylan for his job performance. However, that is directly tied to, and I know I'm repeating myself on this, exposing themselves as being incompetent for hiring this dude, removing an interim tag, year extension. No coaching search. So even though they have cause to fire Jim Boylan, if they do, they are exposing themselves in a very similar way to the way that Knicks ownership and Knicks management just exposed themselves for being incompetent and blaming it on their coach. But hey, the Knicks are paying David Fizdale to go away, and he's got a lot more money left on his deal than what the Bulls are paying Jim Boylan. So if they really want to make a change and not panic trade one of their pieces of young talent, and the change is getting rid of Jim, they can do that. They can do that. I just don't think they will, because they know, we know how defensive they are. All right, there's one more thing I wanted to touch on before we get out of here for the day, and it is a piece for The Athletic that was co-written by Sam Amick and John Hollinger, where they were talking about five interesting coaching situations that are worth monitoring around the NBA now that the Knicks have, as we were just discussing, given the axe to Dave Fizdale. And surprise, surprise, the Bulls are one of the teams that come up in this roundtable discussion about the NBA's perhaps hottest coaching seats. And so here, in case for those of our Locked On Bulls listeners and Bulls fans that do not have access to The Athletic because of their paywall, is a direct clip that I will read for you from this piece from Amick and Hollinger. Leak sources say that team president John Paxson remains a fan of Boylan's tough love approach despite the disappointing results thus far. Part of the blame for the slow start can also be shared by injuries to Otto Porter and Chandler Hutchison that left the team with no real small forwards. Boylan's defensive scheme has drawn plenty of criticism, especially since it's an odd fit for a big lineup that, aside from Thaddeus Young, lacks fleet-footed bigs. But to be fair, Chicago's 29th-ranked offense is the more pressing concern. Sources say Boylan remains unpopular in the Chicago locker room, which isn't surprising given that his tenure began with a near mutiny over his grueling practices and formation of the much-derided leadership committee. His unpopularity with the players would be the driving force behind any move by management, who otherwise seemed satisfied and gave him an extension before the season. Should Boylan survive until April, but the Bulls' position in the standings doesn't change, an equally interesting question is what happens in Chicago after the season. One has to wonder if a more thorough house cleaning, one that would include both Boylan and front office staff, would be on the table, with our spies hinting that a more ambitious overhaul is possible. So, that is from Amick and Hollinger, co-writing a piece for The Athletic that came out earlier today. Interesting stuff in there. Obviously. I mean, you don't need to be reading the tea leaves to know that Jim Boylan is unpopular with his team and in this locker room right now. I mean, we've even seen visual examples of it. After Levine's buzzer beater and the players on the team were all celebrating, whatever, and Jim tries to join in on the celebration, everybody's like, nah, Jim. Like, nah, dude, go away. Or in another recent game, I can't recall which one specifically, but the video that was circling around Twitter of Jim Boylan with some of his key players, namely Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and Kobe White. I believe Wendell Carter Jr. was around as well, all, you know, huddled around Boylan on the court during a brief timeout, and Boylan is trying to amp guys up and clapping and, you know, giving guys pats and trying to, you know, give some instructions, and they basically are all not even looking at Jim Boylan, let alone paying attention to him. They're ignoring him. It's not hard to see that Jim Boylan has lost this locker room if he ever had it. And sure, you know, reports were rosy coming into this season. Oh, Jim went and visited Lowry in Finland, and then he went and visited Zach on the West Coast, and he's, you know, developing all these positive relationships, and guys are buying in, and they're enjoying training camp. And did anybody believe that? I didn't. And it's not because I'm a skeptic and a cynic. It's because I'm not fucking gullible. Who would believe that? Based on what we saw this guy do and how he treated his players last year. And the fact that despite his own very apparent and woeful shortcomings as a coach in this league that has led to this team losing games it probably should have won, he stands there at the podium almost every night and throws his players under the bus. We're gonna be shocked by the news that he's unpopular. No. It's not shocking or even surprising or even mildly surprising news. What is noteworthy about this column is that it is from national NBA writers. And they are writing about this head coach's unpopularity, that his players have stopped listening to him, the locker room is against him, and that a more thorough house cleaning might need to happen. And this isn't just, you know, good old Joe Cowley stirring up the latest article for the Sun-Times about how Gar Forman needs to be fired, you know, 6 years ago. This is a national media publication from national NBA writers pointing an arrow at this dumpster fire that's going on with the Bulls right now. And the fact that the coach does not have the support of his players, begrudgingly, perhaps right now, has the support of management. And what are they going to do about it? Because if the, you know, the report, the other reports that we've heard are to be believed, and this is what I believe, Boylan's biggest fan is not John Paxson. Boylan's biggest fan is Michael Reinsdorf. Reinsdorf loves Jim Boylan. But John Paxson can't be thrilled with Jim Boylan based on the results so far. So how much longer is Paxson willing to go along with this? And if, in fact, Jerry and Michael actually decide that John, for once in his tenure running this team, should hold some level of accountability and responsibility for this failure, then, as they said in this report, maybe a more thorough house cleaning is on the horizon. And that there are some sources from these national NBA writers who think that that is possible at the end of this season. And again, how many years have we been talking as a fan base right now about cleaning house? I'll believe it when I see it, and not a second before. But this is noteworthy and important, once again, because of the national scope. The Bulls were the national laughingstock of the NBA a couple of, and then the Sacramento Kings trolling the Bulls, running off their floor with a 20-point, you know, victory, laughing at the Bulls and their coach about how they were going to be, you know, doing suicides the next day. That was what got the Bulls to be a national man, nothing else. No wins, you know, no amazing individual performances or team performances. The Bulls last year were a laughingstock. They were hoping that was the goal that they have set. Well, right now, with this column, it's not just Bulls fans, and it's not grumpy Bulls fans on Twitter, and it's not just how low the bar is right now. This team's shortcomings are getting national attention. It's a big market team with a huge fan base, a global fan base, and it's not a new story that there is this perception that so many of the Bulls' shortcomings fall not at the feet of the players, where the people running the organization. And we all know how thin their skin is. So it'll be curious to see if they have any response to this whatsoever. But again, that would take one of the members of this organization's top rungs of the ladder, whether it be Michael Reinsdorf, face the music on this. Paxson usually does his, you know, his Christmas morning interview on, you know, a sports talk radio station. We don't know. What I have heard recently is that there have been several requests made by various members of the Chicago media on Paxson address this underwhelming start that the Bulls are having. Essentially, every member of Chicago media covering this team have been making requests to talk to John Paxson. And we have not heard from John Paxson. So there's that. The day. Just a reminder, hit us up on that text to voicemail line. We'll do some more mailbag later on this week. 331-979-1369. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks to you, our listeners. Thanks to our sponsors. Check out that Spotify rap list. And don't forget to screenshot and tweet at us if we were one of your most listened to podcasts for the 2019 year. And of course, check out that great deal at audible.com/lockedonNBA. Great option for your holiday gifts. We will talk to you tomorrow. Bulls back in action tonight, taking on the Raptors for the second time this season. Hopefully, this time around, they can make it a little more respectable. Second night of a back-to-back. Tip-off, 7 p.m. at the United Center. Until tomorrow, Matt Peck saying thanks as always for listening, Bulls Nation. Take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com